Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Table Talk, first Monday of January, and at my table today is my daughter Madison.
Hello.
Some of you have actually texted me and said, "Where's Madison been? We've been missing her." So she can tell you a little bit about her journey the last month or two in her personal life, and then we're going to get into 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. But let's start off by, so Madison, where have you been the last month?
Been working, been a little stressed, but we've been sick a little bit, so I also don't want to be on here sick, but we've been trying to finish house organization, holidays, all that stuff. Didn't feel like the time for the podcast, I guess, but
absolutely
going through, I don't know, I guess many tests, many as in M-I-N-I, not many as in M-A-N-Y.
Yeah, I get you.
Little mini, just kind of, are you still working? Are you still focused? Some circumstances, it's been a little stressful at work, and so been kind of just hitting the grindstone and working it out.
I'm gonna read something from my little calendar that I got. Shout out to Joni. I got this actually two Christmases ago, and this is what Lisa Jo Baker writes. "What I have now is once what I wanted so desperately. I don't want to lose sight of these in the chase after my next prayer request. In the season of rain, still pray for rain, because once the rain begins, it's tempting to walk away from the answered prayer and move on to the next thing. But I do not want to do that. I want to sit and revel in what God has given me here and now, daily. Between the soap suds and the dirty dishes, I want to pray and thank Him for what I have." And the verse she alludes to is Zechariah 10:1. "Ask the Lord for rain in the season of spring rain. The Lord makes the rain clouds, and He will give them showers of rain and crops in the field for everyone."
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that is, that's hard to do sometimes, though, if we are totally honest with ourselves. It's so much easier to see what we need and what we are desiring for ourselves than to just stop and go, what do I have? What do I have? So that's just a reminder as we begin 2025. If you're not someone that journals, try taking out a piece of paper and just making a list of what do I have? What do I have right now? And even if you're in a storm, a large hail, wind blowing, rain, torrential storm, what do you have? What do you have? And what is God doing in you and through you for His kingdom that you'll later see on the other side of it?
I talked about being a little stressed, and I'll speak to this for a little bit, but work was a little stressful. I'm a teacher. End of semester gets a little crazy. You know, as much fun as holiday parties and doing all the Thanksgiving and Christmas activities are fun, they're, you know, just added something else added to the list and can cause lots of stress. And just amongst other things, the environment was getting very stressful. Tension, and I was coming home weighed down every day and then just not excited to go to work the next day. You know, that kind of feeling of just not fun. And so I was mapping the verse that my mom gave me, 1 Timothy 4:7-8, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But I was doing a good job staying in what I knew to do, but it wasn't translating to work at the start. Like, I was doing this, and I was like, I'm feeling good. And then I go to work, and it's like, oh my goodness, I'm drained. I don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah. You know, falling into gossips and ranting and just negative, 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 negative. And so I think it's funny because I just realized this. I'll go ahead and read the verse, and then we can do it later. But it says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. And as I was driving here, I just thought, like, I was giving into the silly, another translation of the silly myths is godless myths and old wives' tales. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same as, you know, rumors and the women just gathering around and ranting. But that's what I feel like in my head. And you guys probably understand that sometimes you get in the room with a whole bunch of women and they just get negative and start talking about everything that's going wrong instead of things that are going right, things that we should be focused on. And that's kind of where we were as a whole school environment. And so I decided to break it. And our circumstances, kind of like that thing was talking about, the circumstances have not changed at all from October to now January. No, nothing has changed. But we've been praying every morning before school, and I can't speak to any of the other women, but my perspective on the circumstances have completely changed. Mm. Excited to go to work, pray with my ladies, plus one male. And, you know, refreshed. I'm not drained. I've got energy. I was telling my husband, like, I would come home with, you know, you're carrying the weight and you're just like, I can't do it anymore. I'm so drained. And then a switch of adding prayer. Mm-hmm. We have had so many gospel conversations. I have prayed with people together individually. And now I'm thinking, and I'm hoping others are thinking, I'm constantly thinking of looking for God. Where is he working? Focusing on positives. Like, it's not all that bad, right? We just get bogged down. And so I think about how it's been in my head before, and I think I've shared it about the lighting the match and sharing it. But I felt like I was doing what I was supposed to at home. And it's like I put that match inside me and I had it hidden away. And everybody else has their own little things going on. But when we came together, no one shared. And so it got really dark. And so the place was all dark. And then now when I decided, okay, I'm not keeping this to myself anymore, I'm going to bring that light out, it lit up the place a little bit. And then when we started coming together, it was like huge light. So now it's not dark anymore. It's light. And nothing has changed from an outsider's eye, but everything has changed inwardly. And so I feel good. I'm excited to go back next week. And it's not like I don't feel drained or anything. Of course, it's easy for me to say after a week off of work, being at the holidays. But anyway, I guess part of the walk is always going to be hard. And there's going to be the times where it feels easy. And there's going to be times where it feels hard, but I think obviously you can't stop what you're doing in your quiet time alone. But then part of our mission is always to share. And even when you're doing what you're supposed to, you cannot be receiving that peace and joy and hope like you should if you're not also kind of continuing it into other walk. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just have God at home or God at church. It really has to infiltrate that. And I personally go through seasons all the time where I'm doing what I'm supposed to and I'm not feeling anything, and then I'm doing what I'm supposed to and I am, and then I get into ruts. You know, everyone, it's normal. But my goal now for this year is to keep studying and reading and praying. And now that I know what it's like to have areas in my life where I didn't bring him into wholeheartedly, and that's bad. It's dark and hard. I don't want any area of my life to be without him, because I know how beautiful it can be when I give up my control and my fear and I let him have all the parts of my life, right? So anyway.
Thank you for sharing. That's very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And it's a call to consistency. And you've accepted courage in the fact that you walked into an environment and you offered them something of yourself that are like, here's a lifeline. Anybody want to jump on or get out of the water and grab a life vest or a floaty and get pulled back up? And I think that speaks to the need for community. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not in community, Satan, I think, offers us isolation. And with isolation becomes depression and the fact that we don't feel seen. And sometimes someone needs to just, like you're talking about matches. Maybe no one was courageous enough to hold up a match unlit or lit. Yeah. And I've been to a place like you are speaking of. I have experienced a darkness in a school environment where I don't know that we had unlit ones. I think we had wet matches. I mean, we had doused our own matches in such sorrow and dismal, like we were already thinking the worst thing.
Right.
And everybody, I mean, we were crying and we were like gnashing of teeth, and people wanted to jump off the boat and people wanted to quit, and we didn't see light at the end of the tunnel. And we came to the same place that, okay, there is no light here. But isn't God light? And right. Don't we have God within us? Yeah. Isn't the Holy Spirit what was promised us? So yeah, someone's got to say, listen, I'm gonna hold up my unlit match, my wet match. Mm-hmm. And if someone else has any light on theirs at all, could you dry my match out before even lighting it? Yeah. But you have to go there, but you have to be vulnerable enough to say, this is where I am. Mm-hmm. Wet match, unlit match, or I'll burn if you will. Yeah. But it takes courage, even when you don't think you can do it, but two people thinking they can, you know, and where two or three are gathered in his name. Anyway, I applaud your tenacity. That is one thing. Like I have three children, and if there are words for each child, if I ever say, like, this is a word for Maddie, that's what I always get for you. You were so tenacious. And, you know, you were the college athlete. All three of my kids were athletic and are athletic and are very gifted. Get that from their father. But you were the one that pursued it even farther into college and did two collegiate sports. And, like, you were just so tenacious, and you still are. And so now he's calling you to a spiritual tenacity that others, you know, for a minute there, you thought you might be a coach because of your athleticism and you wanted to coach other athletes. And now I feel like you're coaching your students, and now you're coaching your peers.
Yeah.
So it's not that he never uses your gifting. It just may not look the way that you thought it would look.
For sure.
But yeah, you're coaching. Anyway, I'm gonna go forward for us to go backwards. This is a verse that I jumped into from 1 Timothy 4:7 and 8. It's actually Philippians 4:4 through 9. And I got to this verse from looking at what it means to train. And it took me to the word practice. So I'm going to just read Philippians 4:4 through 9. It's not the whole verses, but it's a partial. Rejoice in the Lord always. Woo, drop mic. Rejoice in the Lord always. We've been talking about when we're in the storm, when we're in the rain, when we have an unlit wet match. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he reiterates it. Again, I say rejoice. And then if you look farther into verse 8, it says, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, anything worthy of praise, Paul is saying from a prison cell, think about these things, which is what I thought Lisa Jo Baker reminded us. It's not about being in the rain and what you want next. It's what do you have? What do you already have? So if there's anything worthy of praise, think about those things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Practice these things. Practice, carry out, apply them habitually, consistently. Engage yourself in it. Repeated exercises for proficiency. Train, accomplish these things. And then here's the big clincher ending drum roll. And the God of peace will be with you. Mm-hmm. And the God of peace will be with you just in our practice.
Yeah.
So exactly what you said, nothing about your circumstances have changed today.
Right.
But you are practicing what you know to do in crisis or chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And what have you received? The God of peace.
Yeah.
That he promised he would be with you if you practice what you've learned and received and heard and seen in him.
Yeah.
So you are reaping the reward of just your practice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a verse for a whole nother day, but let's go back and center on 1 Timothy 4:7-8 about what Maddie just referred to as bodily training is of some value. But godliness is of value in every way. And those of you that listened to the midweek episode about God's gym, you know, it's Maddie's son, Mickey, who is the natural athlete coming from UN Grady's DNA that just kind of got to the point where he didn't need anyone else setting a goal for him. At his age, he was immature in the fact that what was good for him as a goal and was being very structured for him, that he was being held accountable to, he kind of repelled against and was like, nah, not today. Keep in mind his age, 2 and 3. But my question for us as we go into 2025 is, have we ever had that same attitude against God's discipline and expectation of accountability and training ourselves? Have we ever kind of repelled against his call of consistency in our discipleship of his word?
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say yes. So I'm going to read it once more from the ESV translation. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
Mm-hmm.
I had a conversation with my son, Zane, who was here over Christmas break, about sometimes our perception of God is he created us and he'll see us again when we exit this life.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like he's wearing the white robe, floating around on the cloud, big white beard, long white hair, way up there. He's so far removed from us. And we sometimes just skate along through life going, well, I know him. He created me. Know he sent his son Jesus to die for my sins. Oh yeah, I have a conversion story. I know when I accepted Jesus. And now on about my life until pearly gates. Mm-hmm. And this is saying that our godly seeking and pursuit of him on the daily is going to hold promise for us in this present life. Mm-hmm. It's not something we're going to wait on to get in eternity. It's something that's going to help us get through now. And you were speaking to that just in the idea of, you know what? How about if we start praying before school?
Yeah.
That's one step of training right now that we know we can do that'll hold promise for us right now.
Yeah, I think, well, you mentioned it a little bit, but Paul in this section is writing to Timothy, and that's why it's 1 Timothy, it's his first letter to Timothy. And when people back then wrote letters, they would write it to someone, but then that person was supposed to share it. And so Timothy was charged by Paul to create a church in Ephesus and, you know, convert more people and hold down the fort. Paul had been to Ephesus 8 years before this. People think he probably converted Timothy mm-hmm. or talked with him and got this whole church kind of started. And then at some point charges Timothy with keep holding the fort down while he goes on to different missions. And so I think that in itself is a beautiful picture of him kind mm-hmm. of, well, he calls Timothy his true child in the faith. He's kind of adopting this random person who he sees potential in, raising him up. And now he's writing letters to him and the whole church to help. And Paul, did not have an easy life. And I think that's inspiring for anyone that has gone through anything or is going through something, or you know, probably will end up going through something. It's probably not going to be as bad as Paul. And even if it is, there's so much hope and promise within that, that someone in prison, someone who had a terrible past, can still reap the benefits. It doesn't matter your circumstance. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. You can still train in godliness, and you know in this life and eternity, God is going to give you so many good things. It might not be exactly what you want or what you thought, you know, like physical things you can touch and hold, but the best things is not the things. It's that peace and that joy mm-hmm. and that hope. And we need that so much. And it also puts us on a path to be a light to the people around us. And that's, you know, that's what Paul was, and that's what Timothy was, these lights in these dark places that other people could say, like, hey, how are you making it through jail? What God do you have? What God do you serve that it is worth preaching the gospel so much that you would get stoned, that you would be shipwrecked, that you would, you know, like, how is it worth it? And so that's what, when I studied this, I looked at, you know, myths and training and godliness. And something that I got was looking at godliness. Godliness requires discipline. Mm. You have to be devoted to God to have godliness. It implies a good, holy life, but its special emphasis, this is coming from my study Bible, mm-hmm. Its special emphasis is on its source. So, you know, it's not being pious, like being like, oh, I'm so good because I'm godly, and, you know, you are identifying, I'm getting all of this from God. Like, I could not have peace today without the source. Mm-hmm. And so I think that led me to the question of, is he worth it? Is he worth laying down your life to serve him? Do you truly believe that having faith and putting or training in godliness is valuable? It literally says it in this verse that it has value in every way, but do you believe it? Mm-hmm. And do you believe it enough to change your heart, to change your day-to-day actions? I think at the beginning of the year, everyone's excited. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's go. I'm going to do all my resolutions. I've got all these goals. This is going to be the best year of my life. I'm going to get it all together. And that's so good. Like, we need a reset. We need to reevaluate our goals, where we've been, where we want to go. I love that. Is God on the list somewhere? Yeah. Where you're like, okay, I want to pursue a better relationship with him. He is worth it. He's at the top of my list of pursuing him, because I do believe he is worth it. And I have gained some of those things that he has in store for us. And I don't want to leave them behind. I don't want to lose them and be back in the negative, be back in the, you're just trying to survive instead of thrive. So that's what really spoke to me through this verse. One of the things that really spoke to me.
Charles Swindoll says that, you know, as Paul is giving advice to this young minister, Timothy, like you said, that the train yourself to be godly, in Greek, the word for train is actually the same one used in reference to exercise and drills done in preparation for an athletic competition. Mm-hmm. So it literally is talking about, like, similar to what an athlete does, which is why the comparison of bodily versus, you know, godly. And he makes that comparison because it is so profitable that we bodily, physically train. Physical health is so, so important. But spiritual health should be our first priority. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think what's interesting is when you think about, like, a New Year's resolution or what are we going to do this year? It is so often about work out more, lose weight, drink more water, eat clean, give up sugar. You know, we often are pulled to the immediate, want to fit better into my pants, you know, that kind of stuff. It's mm-hmm. always so human, superficial to our body as beings. But like you said, that's a very call of conviction to, that's great. Do not do that.
Yeah.
Make that a goal and work at that. But yes, was our first thought and our first goal something about our spiritual discipline and journey? And mm-hmm. unfortunately, sometimes it's not. Or we make a commitment, like our NLC church does a week of prayer and fasting. So we might say, yes, I'm going to commit and do that week of prayer and fasting. And then after that, it's like, ooh, well, it's hard to keep a commitment, maybe because the accountability isn't just lurching right there. Like, physically, maybe you have a weigh-in, like once a week, I'm going to weigh in, or once every 2 weeks, I'm going to weigh in. Well, what's our scale to weigh in about our spiritual training? Mm-hmm. Which I think that comes only with mentorship, small group discipleship, a community of people praying before work, meeting over lunch break at work, joining a life group, being a part of a Bible study, whatever it is your commitment is, that's on you and hearing from God. But we have to still make one. We have to make a concerted effort. And then I was reading, of course, my Matthew Henry commentary, it said, Christ is the rewarder of those who seek and serve him. That's what this verse is saying. He will be there for you in today and in eternity as you seek and serve him. And he will provide well for you this life and in eternity. But providing well does not mean, ooh, now I drive a Ferrari. I'm in a $2.5 million home. No, providing well for us is exactly what you said, that we will be able to have the joy and the peace, and that we will not have the chaos, even in crisis, that we know he is there for us. Mm-hmm. And that he is so kingdom-minded, and we are so human-minded. Everything is about us, and we are so carnal in nature that we want it now. And when we get any part of it, we're on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know if you were around kids opening presents at Christmas, but so often it is, oh, yay, rip it open. What's the next one? Yay, rip it open. What's the next one? It's not even you're stopping to enjoy what you just opened. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were around adults that were like that and not just kids. I don't mean to just put kids under the bus. But don't we do that with God? Like, okay, so I got this, but I want that now. Okay, yeah. I got that, but now I want this now.
Right.
Or, well, that maybe was an answer, but it wasn't my answer, so now I want this now. And it's almost like taking advantage of his generosity instead of just sitting in, back to today's calendar, what do you have? What do you have? And so made me remind myself that this is not a religion. It's a vibrant relationship, and relationships grow with time and intentionality. If I don't meet with you and we don't talk for years, it's not that we won't ever remember that we knew each other, mm-hmm. but we'll only be able to pick up where we left off. Nothing has grown between us in relationship. So it does take time. Mm-hmm. But then you can't just be like, well, I'm around them all the time. Like, I work with them. I see them every day. Okay, but how intentional are you with them in this relationship? Seeing them every day doesn't mean you know anything more about them than you did the day before.
Right.
But when you think about who you spend time with, and that's intentional time, ask yourself, has that relationship grown? Of course it has. So think about that with God. Are you giving him time? But not just check off the box time, intentional time with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how our relationship's going to grow.
Yeah.
Where we shut up and we listen. Where we read and we study and we ask and we sit. And we ask ourselves and we look for his truth. His word is our answers. The truth in his word are our answers. It will never change. It's right there. And so there's a command for us in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Command, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, comma, and all these things will be added to you. But I want all the things. Okay, then read before the comma. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then the things that we want become the things that God wants for his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a cause and effect mentioned in Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold. That's all the effect. But what's the cause? From those who walk uprightly. So, okay, I want the favor. I want the honor. I want the good things. I don't want him to withhold anything from me. Then stop and ask yourself, how are you walking?
Mm-hmm.
Stop and ask yourself, how are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? We can't have one without the other. We want it all, but what are we putting into the equation? So in all of this that we've been talking about, if we're looking at the need in 2025 to begin the year with a spiritual surrender, victory over flesh, what is profitable to me to do to seek first the kingdom of God and walk uprightly? What is it that we need to pursue and grab hold of should be the question for all of us. That should be our desire, is that we seek him first. And so what Maddie and I are going to talk about a little bit is, honestly, in this 2025 beginning year, we are looking at and grappling with, if you will, and wrapping our thoughts around and seeking God's guidance in how we are going to continue verse mapping, which sometimes we know there is a verse that we want to study and explore his truths more in, and it's a month. We sit in it for like a month. And if any of you see my social media, I put out a one-year reading plan that New Life Church is offering for all of us to explore. So what does that look like to do a daily reading plan? And I'm 2 days into that. And verse map. So we've been talking about it together just a little bit today before the podcast, after we've been looking at it independently. And Madison, being, like I said earlier, the athlete at my table and the two-sport collegiate athlete at the table, had a remarkable way of putting it into like a analogy or a word picture for me. And I was like, yes. So I'm going to ask her if she will explain it again so you all can hear it, because it was just, yes. It just hit me with, yes, that's exactly what I'm feeling. So,
if you haven't ever read through the Bible in a year or any time, that's important. There's so much good just from doing that and building a habit. That, it's a whole book, so it seems like a lot, but when you split it up, it's like 15 minutes a day. And that, to me, is a sprint. You're sprinting as fast as you can through the Bible in a year, less, more. And so people will sprint train, and it's a whole different muscle that you need to have and practice for sprinting. And if anyone knows, as you've gotten older, you probably don't have those muscles anymore. And you're not as fast because you've lost those muscles, and they're not firing as fast, which is a bummer. But so this is like sprinting. And in my head, you're doing it every day. You are just digesting the word quickly. Whole chapters. What did we read? We read like
day one, it was Genesis 1 and 2, Matthew 1 and 2, Psalm 1, 1 through 6, Proverbs 1, 1 through 6.
Yeah. So lots of verses in one time, all throughout the Bible. Or you can do the ones where you go chronologically or straight from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Mm-hmm. That's a sprint. On the other hand, sitting and studying one verse or a couple of verses, or just dwelling in one topic for a long time, studying is like a marathon. You're not going to get there quickly, but you're going to get so much of a different training from that. And in my head, I've done both, and they both have lots of value. Studying is like a marinating, and you get a lot of knowledge that you're probably not going to forget, where sprinting, you're like flying by, and you might pick up on some things, or like you were talking about, you picked up on some questions or a cool topic, but you're not going to pass an exam. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Probably at the end of the year, you're not going to remember everybody's names. You're not going to remember every place, all of the things. You're going to forget things that happen throughout, and that's okay. You're not meant to read it and remember every little thing. You're reading it because God told us to read his word, and that is a commandment. It's good for us to intake his word.
Yeah.
It is good, but studying is also good. We're supposed to meditate on his word day and night. So anyway, it's just, I, in my, like she said, athletic, competitive discipline, you're just training different muscles. You're doing different activities. Some people like to do like a leg day and then an arm day and a cardio day. You're just practicing and training in two different ways. And so what we talked about is you can do them at the same time. You can run your sprints and read your, this is what I'm doing today, every day. And you can also take some time and dig in, whether it's the verses that you're reading or something totally different, and study every day as well. So
yeah, that was just perfect. I was like, yes, that's the perfect word picture of what I feel. So this is going to air on Monday, but today in reality is Thursday, January 2nd. So when I say I'm 2 days into this, it's because y'all are going to listen to this podcast after the fact. So what I was saying to Madison is, for those of you that know about our verse mapping journal, I am using a spiraled lined notebook for my 1 year Bible. And I am actually putting like day one, and then now I have day two, and I am reading it. Or like Madison said, you know, you can have it read to you while you're driving to work or brushing your teeth or getting ready for bed or over lunch break at school. It is, or work. It doesn't have to be where you are intentionally locked into it, so it can be more auditory, and that's fine. We want you to accomplish it how you feel you are able to accomplish it. But what I would offer you is a space for, as you are listening, I'm still always going to push the journaling, still in this spiral line notebook, still write down after listening to day one, what stuck out to you? What repeated words did you hear throughout the scripture, Old and New Testament? What questions did you have about either more content knowledge, or what does that word really mean? Or what is the Holy Spirit potentially convicting me of? Just anchor it. Just anchor it, because over time you will see if there's a repeated theme from God's word, not written about you or to you, but God's word was written and anchored. What is it that you are perceiving as you seek him, that he is showing you the truth of his word? And then day two, I did the same thing. Day two. And I did the exact same thing. But in day two, yes, I see my repeated themes. Yes, I saw what I went back and answered questions on. Yes, I put down some personal questions for me to stop and really reflect on more myself. But I also found one verse that just jumped out at me, and it was like, ooh, that's your verse. Because I had spent a month in the verse I read you in Philippians. Started December 3rd, ended December 31st. So now I have a blank page to begin again in January. And I was just waiting till I got that verse that I was supposed to study and sink my teeth into. And I got it on day two. And the minute I read it and three words popped out to me, I thought, oh, that's the verse I'm going to sit in. And like Madison said, marinate in it and study it and pull it apart and look it up and read commentary. Doesn't mean I'm going to not do day three and day four and day five of the 1 year Bible with my what stuck out there, what maybe is affirming the verse that I chose to map. But that totally explained it, because in my mind, I'm thinking I can't run two races. And when Madison said, it's two totally different styles. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to marathon probably the month of January in this one verse, but I'm going to continue to sprint through what God's word and truth is still saying to me as I go. Mm-hmm. So yes, I am a member of God's free spiritual gym. And yes, I have bodily training goals still for myself for 2025. But my first priority is, what is my spiritual training going to look like this year? Yeah. Is it easy? No. Is it time consuming? Yes. Do I fit it in at the end of the day? Absolutely not. I have to find where he fits. Mm-hmm. Just like making an appointment. I was texting with two ladies this morning, individually, and basically we were making an appointment to meet. So it's on my calendar. Ooh, I'm such a calendar person. I have to do that with my time with God. I have to know going into tomorrow, where is my time with him? Mm-hmm. Just like you would going to a physical gym. Okay, you join a gym. You're going to waste your money if you haven't already pre-decided how many days a week you're going and when is that time.
Right.
And who's going to watch the kid? And who's going to fix supper? And where your gym clothes are going to be?
Yeah.
Because if it's like, oh gosh, this is when I was going to go, but now my clothes are at home. I don't even have my right shoes. And who's got my kid? And mm-hmm. they've got to eat. And it's bedtime. And it's work tomorrow. If you don't pre-plan, you're going to fail.
That's right.
So how are you pre-planning to not fail at this? Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, you all have heard it before. I am OCD. I have to have my act together to just for it to habitually roll. So I now have a basket where I have my things that I need at a quick. So I know when it is my time with him, and it may change. Day one's time may be here. Day two's time is there, but I still got to know my time. Mm-hmm. But I can grab that basket. It's already cutting time, gathering my stuff. If it's going to be mobile, then my basket can go in the car. You have that mm-hmm. with all your stuff in one place because it may be at work. It may be at home. It may be here. So it's a tote and go. Tote mm-hmm. the truth. Let's go. So I think Maddie and I just want to offer you what we're vulnerably, transparently internalizing for ourselves. Mm-hmm. What does this look like for mm-hmm. this year? What's our commitment? What's our priority? And how are we trying to figure this out so it becomes consistent spiritual godliness, training, discipline, and it has the ability to succeed with the Spirit's guidance and not just, oh, okay, it failed. Made it through day five.
Yeah.
And I need the accountability.
Yeah.
I need to be able to ask Maddie, okay, did you choose the verse yet that you're mapping? And she may be like, no, I'm still reading through the 1 year Bible until something resonates with me. Good, go girl. Yeah. But what day are you on in the 1 year Bible? It may be day 15. She's on day three. Who cares? Yeah. Cheer on, girl. Keep going.
Yeah.
But I don't want it to get to a place where she's like, well, I've stopped. Mm-hmm. At the same time, she needs to be able to ask me, Mom, where are you? Where are you? And we can't be insecure enough to say, well, I've stalled. It's no different than saying, why aren't you at the gym? Well, my Achilles is acting up. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, mend it. Do whatever you need to. Thank goodness her husband's an athletic trainer. Ask Grady what to do for it and get back out there. Don't just stop.
Yeah.
Satan will cause a crisis of chaos to derail you for you to go, oh, here I go. Failed again at that.
Yeah. And one piece of advice that I would say, it is the hardest to start something you've never done.
Mm.
And it second hardest is to start something that you used to do.
Mm.
And it used to be easy and you used to be in a good spot and now you've gotten a rut and to start back.
Yeah.
So either start something brand new that's really hard, intimidating, and then to restart something you used to be good at that now you're not good at anymore. Those are hard. So if you are not in the place that you're hearing us where, oh, we're going to tackle two things, we can do them at the same time, we're excited. If that's like, peace out, I cannot do that. Choose one.
Yeah.
I would choose the daily sprint because that's something you can like, you can be waiting for, you know, your fast food and you're doing it. You can be at your lunch break. You can listen to it.
The pickup line for kids
while
after
you're
school.
Doing your hair. Like that is more attainable, I think, because you don't have to be anywhere. It can be on your phone and you're just scrolling through it. Do that. And if you miss a day, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to it. There's no shame in Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's waiting patiently. Just pick it up, pick back up. That's okay. And then, yeah, ask somebody, try to do it with them, so that you guys are doing it at the same time. And even if you're on different days, it's okay. You're still encouraging each other to keep going, keep going. We're going to finish this. We're going to finish this. And then if you do feel at any time like, this is really easy, I'm ready to do something else, make another step. But if you, like, you haven't been journaling for a little bit, yes, because you stopped and you're waiting for a verse, yes, like, don't hastily,
yes,
decide to do something. So I would say consistently do the 1 year, or do your plan, whatever you've decided to be reading every day. You can always pray every day wherever you are. You can, mm-hmm, pray, and you can think about things that you're learning, think about things that have struck you and you want to continue thinking about. Like, your mind is always there. You're always able to pray and come to Him.
You can always pray the prayer, Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me.
Yeah.
Period.
And so a harder that you need specific preparation, you've got to have your materials, is finding like the quiet time, mm-hmm, where you're going to either study or you're meditating or you're, you know, having that very intentional time, which, like we've talked about, that's like making an appointment to go do something. Mm-hmm. And when you're at the gym working out, all you can do is work out, right? So making that time and space, starting with, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe you're ready for 30. This day I can spend a whole hour. That will need specific preparation for. But it's okay to not have a day where that,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like I couldn't study yesterday. It's, yeah, okay.
Maybe
pick it up today.
Maybe that's
pick
two times a week.
Right, yeah, right. So make goals for yourself. Make them attainable. I would say start small, and then as you're ready to take on more. But something my husband says is, when he is doing his reading and his prayer, all the rest of his life looks better too. He's more apt to do his push-ups and his squats that he wants to do. He's more apt to do the laundry, to sweep, to clean up the dishes. Like, everything else falls into place when he has self-disciplined and chosen to put God first. And I see it. Mm-hmm. But I have looked inward, and that works for me too. When I am doing what I'm supposed to do, I also am wanting the things that God wants. I don't binge Netflix. Like, you know, the week that I'm studying the Bible, I'm not binging Netflix as much as, you know, when I'm not. I'm ready to get up. I'm ready to help Mickey in the morning. I'm has a better attitude. Let's cook meals instead of eat out all the time. So I would encourage you, like we've talked about, put God first, give Him His time, give Him His energy. He is worthy of that. And the other stuff is going to be easier too. Working out's going to be easier. Eating better is going to be easier. Loving your family is going to be easier. Getting to work on time. It's all going to be easier when you have disciplined yourself and put God first and where He rightfully is. And it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay to not have it all together, you know, January 10th.
Yeah.
We're looking long-term, August 11th.
Yeah.
You're still, yeah, reading. You're still praying. You're still doing
Striving.
A study. Still you're still pursuing. Trying. He's, yeah, still in your, yeah, mind of, I want to pursue you. That's long term. So give yourself some grace and space, but find somebody and go for it.
When I looked at the word train, when I was mapping and looked at train, one of the things was when literally talking about the word was referring to the athletic training. Mm-hmm. One of the things I read about was basically they trained almost naked,
yeah, I saw
wearing
that too.
Only the loincloth.
Yeah.
And when I was just sitting prayerfully in, okay, what's the purpose about that? I thought to myself, it was with no barrier restriction.
Right.
But it was also very vulnerable.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, am I training like naked, bearing all in front of someone else? Or am I just doing it alone in my room in my space and time, which is great.
Yeah.
I'm not saying if where you are starting is private in your own space with him, that that's not good. I'm saying go, girl. But I am saying there is something to bearing it all and vulnerably saying, I'm going to train and I'm okay with you seeing me.
Yeah.
Or I'm okay with you being a part of it. That's called discipleship.
Right. And it's okay for that other person to see you fail.
Oh, absolutely. Struggle.
Or grow.
Yes.
Because also, one, we're always so scared, like, what if I fail? What if someone sees me fail?
Yeah.
What if they see you succeed?
Yeah.
What if they see you grow? What if they're part of your testimony and they can look across and say, that person has completely changed their life. That's not what they used to be like. You know, we're always so scared of what if it's bad? What if it's amazing? And someone else can sit across from you and say, I can't believe this year was like that, and be a light to that person as well, you know?
And what if in my failure or my struggle, they're exactly the person I need to help me back up?
Yeah.
You know, what if they're the one that's going to cheerlead me on, or vice versa?
Yeah.
So I think that's what I also was impacted by, is the fact that start prayerfully, begin something like Madison gave you multiple options with, but find a partner in the path to walk it out, whether it's your spouse, whether it's a coworker, a family member, your church. Find someone that's going to walk it out with you and ask you about it.
Yeah.
It's no different. Like, it's no coincidence that he knew we would understand bodily training and godly training. It's no different than if you had a physical trainer sitting there saying, okay, it's time to up the weights. You've been doing 5 pounds long enough. We're going to 10 pounds or 7 or 8. Yeah. Or it's no different than them up in the slant or the angle on your treadmill. Now you're going to meet with some resistance, or the pace of the treadmill.
Now you're going to go faster.
It's no different.
But someone's going to ask you if you paid a membership. They're like, have you gone today?
Yeah.
Are you going?
Or you know, where
whether
are
it's
you?
Your husband or whatever it is.
Especially if you're paying a trainer.
You can say,
they're like, where are
no,
you?
No, I haven't done anything. Or
yeah,
I've done everything.
Yeah.
Whatever. And so.
So that's our petition, is that you prayerfully look at, what does God have for me in my godliness training this year? And who does he have to do it with me? Mm-hmm. Or who needs me to do it with them? There's two sides. Perception is everything. You need someone, they need you. Pray about that person. Pray that a name comes to you, or that someone asks you, or be bold and courageous to ask them. Remember, it's okay to have wet matches or dry matches, but get with somebody that can help ignite your match. And then if you are listening and you are in the Northwest Arkansas area, regardless of what church you attend on a Sunday, our community of women gathering on Wednesdays at New Life Church Fayetteville will begin in February. We will meet every other Wednesday starting February 5th, 6:15 to 7:30. Come. We are going to be in small group discipleship, just talking about this, exactly this. Where are you? What are you doing? What do you need? What support? What resources? Can I check in on you? Can you check in on me? I don't know what to do here. Yay! It's like we're going to offer a spiritual free membership gym. We'll meet you where you're at. We'll increase the difficulty only when you're ready. We won't push you. We'll just check in on you. We're like, girlfriend, where are you? That's all this is. And then you'll have a week where we don't meet, that we're asking you to just keep the commitment that you've set for yourself. We're not going to make your commitment. We're not building your plan. You're going to arrive at what you feel God is asking for you to do in your now as a disciple of his. And we're just here to help you along the way. That's all we are. We're your free personal trainers. That's what we are. That's all we're going to be.
The people with the signs at the marathon that say, keep going.
And have the cups.
There's going to be donuts at the end, whatever, you know.
I've been to many races for Maddie, and it's where my husband and I drive around, and sometimes he couldn't even find a place to park, so I just jump out and I run just to see her turn a corner and run by and for me to go, you've got this, mad dog, keep going. Yeah. And there's people at the table offering the water, and she downs the water and throws the cup, like just on the movie. Anyway, and all we're doing is scrambling in the car to meet her. We always want to be a little bit ahead of her so she sees us as she's coming to like give her encouragement. So, yeah.
If you've never ran a race or you have run a race,
I'm the never.
It is way easier to run a race than to practice.
Ooh.
Like having those silly people or having someone at the end or having the treats and it being a big deal and you could get a medal at the end, like that's why you do it. Like I'm adrenaline. Excited.
Yeah.
Like that keeps me going. I want the people, even the other racers that are either passing you or you're passing, like that is encouraging. Having people with you,
ooh, that's good.
The same goal, it will get you places. That's Grady funny. And I ran a marathon way before Mickey, and we both finished the race, and we had never ran that far before in our life. We'd stopped at like 20 miles, and we had never ran the whole 26. But we did that day because of all the people encouraging you. Mm-hmm. Okay, blah blah blah. His mom was there, and like we're doing it. Could I have woken up the next day and like done it again with nobody? Probably not.
Yeah.
So. It's going to be hard to practice on your own. You've got to do it. Get competitive, whether you're competitive or not. Do it. Get competitive. Ask him for some desire. Ask him for some time and kind of demand it of yourself because this is worth it. On the other hand, you've got to make some check-in, excitement. Where is my race where someone else is going to be there encouraging me, because that makes the practice easier. It encourages me to keep going in the meantime before my next race, before my next game. Like I've got something to look forward to. Someone's going to ask me about this or someone's going to encourage me. I'm going to get to share what I learned. I'm like, you know, build in both of those times. I need my individual practice and I need my game time, encouragement, hype session, because that's really how it's going to continue.
Sure. So we hope we've given you probably too much to think about and grapple with, but we want you to ponder this. This is a priority. This is a command. So I am excited for my own personal journey this 2025. I'm excited for Maddie and I to vulnerably walk it out in front of you guys. And we're excited to be the hype team. That's it. Woo-hoo. The holy hype team. So either stay on here and listen as we walk it out. Or like I said, if you can be there, February, New Life Church, off college, 6:15, we'll be your holy hype as you godly train. Anyway, love you so, Maddie. Thank you for being at my table today. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.